It's good to be with you again. Quite the weekend. Just driving in, it's a very busy place. I was listening to CBC on Friday. They had the afternoon show from here, and this is a large endeavor. It's, I don't know, some people have said the fifth or sixth or seventh largest stampede in all of North America. Quite incredible. Not meaning anything negative, but it's quite something that Pinoca would put this on. It's very impressive indeed. I just want to, I think we have a slide that goes up. Just want to thank you for the very generous reception that you have given me over the last several months, and look forward to being able to continue with you through July. And I like to also thank you as a congregation, and I would like to also thank the elders as well as your representatives, that you haven't put any restrictions upon me or said I can't speak about this or that. You've been very gracious and very kind to me. Thank you. I'm coming on Thursday. Gerald Peters invited me to have coffee with him at the Timber Coffee, and so I thought that if I came down to see him, then I'd make the offer open that if anybody else wants to see me on Thursday, be happy to meet with you. Meet there or wherever you want. Spend 20 minutes, half an hour, have coffee someplace, either there or elsewhere, wherever is good for you. Get to know you better. So if you'd like to, just contact me and let me know what time would be good for you on Thursday. I'm going to be seeing Marianne as well. I know Marianne and Sister Gwen and Dave from Yellowknife a number of years ago, so I'm going to look forward to calling them. But I'll be here for the day, and so be pleased to meet with you. Before we start, and look again, second time at Luke chapter 10, I'd like to ask you to join with me in prayer. And so can we rise together and pray and ask God to bless us. Shall we pray together? God, our Father and Creator, you have given us this beautiful world and called us to care for it responsibly. Forgive us for exploiting and misusing your gift. Jesus, God the Son, you have come to bring your kingdom among us. Open our eyes to see it, our ears to hear it, our hearts to hold it, and our hands to serve it. Forgive us for not seeking your kingdom first in our lives. Holy Spirit of God, you have spoken unto us through your written word, but most fully through the living word, Jesus Christ. Forgive us for closing our hearts and minds to your voice. Come to us, O God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Fill this place with your love that we might understand and follow your ways. Amen. You may be seated. We'd come to our friend's house for a holiday, and we had only been there a day when he said to us, "Hey, listen, there's a rodeo out of a small town not far from here. Why don't you come with us? It'll be great for the kids. I'll have a wonderful time, and it will be a new experience for you as well." Southeastern Alberta, Bear Prairie, we drove out, and we came to it wasn't a stampede ground. It was sort of like an oversized baseball diamond. Big patch of dust, seating, well, not really a grandstand, maybe three levels, and it would hold maybe 25 people. There was a bunch of pickup trucks rolling in with horse trailers, and there was over the other side there was just a small sort of corral where there were some calves, and there were some people even riding in on their horses. And so the rodeo, couldn't call it a stampede, the rodeo began. It was a very interesting time. There was more dust than there were people, but everybody was incredibly enthusiastic. It was hard to tell whether the most interest was in the actual events taking place or in all the people visiting with each other. That was a huge component. Our kids, our three kids, sat on a great big rock that was there beside the stampede ground. And they sat eating hot dogs and having ice cream running down them. And it was interesting. Now, something else I noticed was the fact that besides the general visiting, there was a great deal of, what shall we say, boy meeting girl. That was a huge, huge element that was going on there. And of course, the young men who were competing were trying to, you could tell, were really working hard at not only winning their event, but also influencing, interesting the young women that were there as well. There was no prize money, of course. There was nothing professional about it in any way. No professional cowboys. Nothing like that at all. These were just regular, ordinary people. They were farmers, and they were ranch people from the surrounding countryside who came together for a great day. But there was a great deal of skill there. We were very impressed by it. There was a great deal of courage also. And to my untrained eye, and being a person that didn't have any idea of what you were supposed to do, there was obviously, I think I'm not sure where it goes to. There's skill, and there's courage, and then there's a place beyond courage, which struck me as being dangerous, foolhardiness, but everybody thoroughly enjoyed themselves. Nothing professional. All just ordinary people. I suppose ordinary people like you and I. Well, the passage of Scripture this morning has something in common with that. There's no cowboys or horses in it. But it's full of ordinary people. Thank you, by the way, for reading that passage of Scripture for us. Appreciate that. But it's interesting to notice in that scripture that when, as we said last week, as we started to look at it, when Jesus chose these 70 people who were following him, Dr. Luke notes in writing 70 other disciples. 70 other disciples. In other words, not the 12 disciples that we know about, but these are some of the other followers of Jesus. Ordinary people. And it's also interesting to notice in that passage of Scripture that there is not a single name mentioned. They're ordinary people who have no names attached to them. They're not the special 12. They're just a lot of other people that follow Jesus. But Jesus saw their potential, and he chose them to go out and to represent him, to go to the villages where they were going to be going and prepare them for Jesus' coming. Now, Jesus gives very specific instructions, as we started to notice last week. There's 7 instructions there. I guess if I hold up this, I should hold up 2 more. I have troubles coordinating, counting, and fingers. And so these 70 were being sent out with these very specific instructions. Now, just this week, a friend of mine said to me, you're in Pinoca, and I said, yes, what are you speaking on? And I told him, and he said, well, of course, you know that has nothing to do with us. And I said, why do you say that? Well, these 70 people were sent to these specific villages to prepare them for Jesus coming on his way to Jerusalem. And I said to my friend, Phil, Phil, yes, that's true, but remember something. Although it was very specific instructions that these 70 had for this very specific purpose, we have all received the Holy Spirit. And so the number is expanded to everybody now who's a follower of Jesus. If you follow, what you find is this. In chapter 9 of Luke, Jesus chooses his 12. And he sends his 12 out before him. And so there's a number 12 of those disciples that go out before him to get people ready for his coming. Small number. It's like a test run. And then now here in chapter 10, Jesus sends 70 out. So 12, 70. And then if we come to the book of Acts, after Jesus has died and risen again, the number is to all. And Luke writes, Jesus said, you shall receive power. After that, I give the Holy Spirit to you, and you will be my witnesses. To whom? Everybody who follows me is now commissioned. So it starts with 12, then it goes to 70, now it's to all of us. And so I said to my friend, Phil, listen, it applies to every one of us, and these are life practices. They're specific mission practices for them, but they're life practices for us all. And so here we have then 7 that we need to practice throughout the rest of our lives if we're a follower and a believer in Jesus. Remember last week, we said, first one, gather harvest. Jesus said, the harvest is great. You know, many of us look at the world and we see all the problems in the world of which there are no end. And we can start to develop a very negative mindset towards the world. And we don't see that this is God's world. But Jesus says, listen to these 70 and to us. He says, there are many people who are open to me. There are many people open to God. Not only do they need God, but they're open to him. I want you to see that there's a great harvest ready for you. And I want you to go and I want you to love and care for and share your lives with these people. And so if you're having the problem of seeing things negatively all the time, and you don't see that this is God's world, this is a beautiful world, and that every person in this world is created in the very image of God and therefore has the mark of God on them, it's time to change your mindset. Gather harvest. This is God's world and God's people. He wants us to love them. Secondly, he said, I want you to expect opposition. Interesting, isn't it? Great harvest. People are open. People are ready for God. Expect opposition. And the two go together. They oppose each other. But truth isn't singular. Truth is multifaceted. Harvest. People open to God, people with the mark of God in their lives, opposition. Let's face it, there are some pretty nasty people in this world. Matter of fact, there's some very miserable people in this world. And if you're going to follow Jesus and you're going to talk about Jesus why do you do this? I do this because Jesus wants me to. Well, and if he comes up in your conversation, then there's going to be people that are not nice at all. And there are some very evil people in this world. Jesus says, don't be surprised. Don't be discouraged. You're like lambs. They're like wolves. And wolves love to eat lambs. Not exactly the most encouraging. But then, remember, he always says, but I'm with you. And then the third one was travel light. So any of you here that go backpacking, if you go backpacking, then you know about traveling light. And Jesus said to his disciples at this time, he said to them, listen, don't take money with you. Don't take a traveler's bag, not even an extra pair of sandals. Go in my name. I'm going to look after you. And so Jesus sends us into the world not to get bogged down by all our possessions and all the worries of this world. Be careful, he said in another passage. Remember, he told the story about the four soils? And number three soil, great soil, beautiful. Crop comes up wonderfully through, whether it's barley or wheat or canola, whatever it is comes up. And then the weeds start to grow and start to germinate and grow up faster until they get taller and they start to choke out the good crop. And Jesus said, be careful. Be careful that doesn't happen to you. That's what traveling light's all about. Be careful that all the things you have and all the possessions and all the money and all these good things don't choke out your love for me. Well, number four. Number four is give peace. And Jesus says to his disciples, listen, when you go to a village, find a house that's going to invite you in, and go to that house and say to them, may God's peace be upon you. And don't move around from house to house, but stay in one place. And so, if you are one of these disciples, you get to a village and people find out why you're there and someone says, why don't you come and stay at our house? Do you have a place to stay tonight? No, I don't have a place to stay. Well, why don't you come and stay at our house? Stay as long as you like. And so you go to their house and you find out they've got five kids and the youngest is a baby with colic. And also on top of that, the grandparents are living there and there's another single aunt that lives there and there's a weird cousin, don't ask me where they came from, and they're living there. And you spend the first night there and you're sleeping with two other kids in the room. And the next day, half awake, you meet somebody. Why are you here? Well, I'm here representing that prophet Jesus. Oh, yeah, sure. Great. Oh, where are you staying? We're staying at Reuben's. Reuben. Oh, yeah, I remember Reuben. He's the one with the five kids, isn't he? Yeah. How's the sleeping arrangement? Well, there's two other kids in the room, but they eventually go to sleep. Right. And then there's the weird cousin. Yeah, I've met that weird cousin. How's the food? Well, there's no extra, but it's good food. Hey, why don't you come to our house? They're pretty full up. Why don't you come on over? Listen, we can give you a bedroom of your own. Be quiet. We've got a great courtyard. You can go out to the courtyard. And you can spend as much time there. You can even have guests come and meet you there. And by the way, we've just hired a new cook. Absolutely incredible. You will really enjoy the food. Reuben's place, your place. Jesus says, no. Yep, you'd like to move, wouldn't you? You'd move, wouldn't you? Yeah, I can understand it. I don't blame you. You just tell me if your dad's not giving you enough, okay? Just let me know about that. Right, okay, good. Jesus says, no, don't move. Stay there. Give your peace to this place. Give your peace. Blessing upon them. A great blessing. The blessing of God to them. You know, we often, I think, forget who we're called to be. We forget that we're called to be people of peace. So often Christians today are taking it up with a variety of wars. There's culture wars, and there's doctrinal wars, and there's gender wars, and there's political wars, and not in our part of the world, physical wars, but there are all these wars that go on, and Christians become known as fighters. But that's not who Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to be peacemakers, not just peacekeepers. And our Canadian Armed Forces has done a wonderful job of that. But no, beyond peacekeeping, peacemaking. Jesus calls us to go into homes, to see people, and to take his peace with us so that wherever we go, we enter into a place and we bring peace. Shalom. Shalom peace, the Hebrew word. It means wholeness, health, wholesomeness, flourishing. peace in all aspects of our life. Jesus wants us to be those kinds of people that move into our community, places of work, with friends, wherever we are, to be people of peace, people bringing peace, the peace of Jesus, to the hearts and the lives of people. That is so important, and we forget that. And perhaps we need to make some changes in our life and our style of meeting with people and in our relationships, and not be known as Christians as always fighting, but as loving and caring for each other. Be content. Be content. Don't move on to the next place. You give your peace in that home. Stay where you are. Jesus says, you've got enough there. You don't need more. But we live in a world that wants more. Always more. Bigger. Better. More. Jesus gives us more, not for ourselves. He gives us more so that we can give more to others. You see, the more we have, the more he wants us to give. What we have is not for ourselves, and Jesus doesn't give us more for ourselves. He gives us more for others. And so what we take in, we should also be giving up. Unfortunately, in our society, we want more for ourselves. That's not how Jesus operates. And so if you're here today, that perhaps God might be saying to you, I don't want you to be a getter. I want you to be a giver. You've got the more. Share the more. That's who we're to be known as. We're to be known as generous people, because Jesus is generous. Jesus is not a getter. Jesus is a giver. Ah, that was number 5. Number 6, heal the sick, Jesus says. Heal the sick. You and I are called to be agents of healing. Now, Jesus' healing is holistic. Jesus' healing is spiritual, us and God. And so you and I, wherever we go, we're to be healers. Healers with all the people in all our relationships. And we bring healing into people's lives. You bring healing into people's lives, whether you're in business or whether you're farming, in your social relationships. In all your relationships, our purpose there is to bring peace and to bring healing. And spiritual healing, where we can pray for people, where we can talk to them about the Lord, where we can listen. Physical healing, where we can pray for them, but where we can make sure that they have medicine if they can't afford it. Where we make sure they have food if they're short on food. Practical things like that. Where they have homes, shelter to live in. That's all part of physical healing. Mental healing. People who need a listening ear. People who perhaps just need someone to speak a gentle word into their life or make a suggestion to them they might consider. Or even people that need to go for counseling that we can pay for, that they can go. Emotional healing. Healing of addictions. Social healing. Where people of different races and cultures are cared for and accepted. We can do all that. Because Jesus' healing is holistic. It's the whole gospel, the whole good news of Jesus for the whole person. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He's saying, I want you to be an agent. I want you to be a person of healing. When you meet people, I want you to bring them peace, and I want you to bring them healing in their life. That's something we can do every day. Every person that we meet, we can have the opportunity to bring healing into their life. That's what Jesus wants to do through us. And number seven is live kingdom. Now, not only does Jesus want us to live in his kingdom, he wants us to live the kingdom. Not only believe in his kingdom, but to have our life shaped by God's kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God is the sovereign and saving rule of God in Jesus Christ. The sovereign and saving rule of God in Jesus Christ. And that means then if I live in God's kingdom here and now, not just in the future when I die, but right now, because Jesus came, remember, to bring the kingdom. We read that Jesus says, the kingdom of God is here. Repent and follow me. It's here now, and Jesus has brought it. He is the king. And if I live in Jesus' kingdom, that means he is my king. And that's very significant. People are looking for a king, a ruler, a guide, a leader. People are looking politically for that, the strong person to lead them. People are looking to sports heroes for that. They're looking to entertainers for that. They're looking to business leaders to be the king. But when you live in God's kingdom, Jesus is your king. He's the one that you follow. He's the one that you copy. And so Jesus wants us to live every day under his rule. His values become our values. And so we march to the beat of a different drummer. We have a different allegiance. Our allegiance is to Jesus. We have different values. And here's something, and I'll leave this with you as we conclude this morning. We often talk about doing the right thing. But Jesus calls us to do the right thing in the right way. In the kingdom of God, the end does not justify the means. Let me say that again. In the kingdom of God, the end does not justify the means. The good end must be done in a good way. And so much in the Christian church today is good, has a good end, a good goal. But it's not done in Jesus' way. The means of doing it are not kind. They're not loving. They're not considerate. And the kingdom of God is a kingdom of justice. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of kindness. It's a kingdom of compassion. And so everything that God calls you and I to do this week in all areas of our life must be done in Jesus' way of doing them. And that's very different to the world we live in. And to live in the kingdom, to live God's kingdom, means this week you and I need to do things Jesus' way. Now, seven is too many to remember. They're in your bulletin. They're listed in your bulletin. So I'd ask you to take your bulletin. And I ask you to take that and put that on your fridge or someplace that you can read them this week. If you would, please. But I'm asking you to choose two. Some of you maybe can say, well, no, I think that the Lord really wants me to start to practice three of these. But there are some of us here that are maybe a little slower. I am. So I'm asking you to choose two. What would be the two practices that you believe that God is calling you to practice to do this week? I know that, and as I've thought about this for myself, I thought, I particularly am going to ask the Lord and ask His Holy Spirit to make me a person of peace, that wherever I go, I bring peace, and a person of healing, that I'm sensitive to them, and I have a sense of compassion, and I listen to people, and I let them talk to me. And I want to bring healing into their lives. Now, I don't know what it might be for you. For you, it might be live content. Maybe that's what you need to remember. Or travel light. Whatever you need, I'm asking you to consider, not just to let this pass by and say, oh, yeah, okay, that's right. Yeah, they gave, there's these seven life principles, these seven life ways to live, these seven habits that Jesus wants me to practice. No. I'm asking you to take two of them and ask the Holy Spirit to work them out in your life this week. So let's just take a moment in conclusion and ask the Lord to speak to us, shall we? Just take a moment in prayer. Give consideration to them. What might they be? Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit upon us in new ways. The very Spirit of Jesus, that we might be able to practice you with the people we live, that we might be your agent, that we might be your representative this week.